I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night of European qualification action for Rangers. There were strong words from Russell Martin followed by big selection calls and all leading to a convincing 3-0 win against Victoria Pilsen. Now over to Hibs and Dundee United tomorrow for their latest crack at European qualifiers. Hearts are the latest to bolster their squad today as the transfer window continues. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy. I feel like we're really in the swing of things with this new season, Jim. The league's up and running, the qualifiers, signings have been made. It's all happening.
Yeah, and you know, as we see and we'll continue to see throughout the season, Gordon, you know, things can flip within a few days. At the weekend, Rangers got a lot of criticism from their supporters and their own manager, and then a few days later, tremendous result at home in Europe, 3-0, and also the performance was an excellent performance. Russell Martin made big calls, and it'll be interesting to see what the fans think of that. The two key players missing out, Tavernier and Raskin, two huge players for Rangers over the last few seasons. And Celtic, Brendan Rodgers was delighted with the performance and the result, but the Celtic fans, I think, are still waiting on that major signing to try and boost their squad for their league and European campaign.
Yeah, Gordon, what a massive result for Rangers, wasn't it? Jim's right there. The big calls, the selections from Russell Martin, they could easily have backfired, and it wouldn't have been nice if it did do that, but I thought they were brilliant. What a difference a little bit of forward running makes in a team. A little bit of energy. Ant-Man Gassama. And I tell you, someone who I'm really impressed with, who I was speaking about earlier, I think could have a big season, is Lyle Cameron.
Well, what do you think? That's more important. No offence to these two, obviously. But they know their place. So 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and let us know what is on your mind tonight. Yes, first and foremost, Rangers fans, sum up last night. We go from game to game at this stage of the season, don't we? Just think of what the conversation was Monday night, then the start of last night, then the team selection was coming in. Huge calls from Russell Martin to back up what he said at the weekend. As far as the result's concerned, I mean, I take it worked. What does that now mean going forward? Who impressed you? The guys have picked out some of the players. Who were the real standouts for you? It was straight into the deep end, if you like, for Oliver Antman. Clearly he had a big impression. Gassama continuing to score. Give us all your thoughts. Everything you took away from last night, even if there was stuff that you still want to see tidied up, stuff you want improved upon, that's absolutely fine. But I'd imagine you're all feeling a whole lot better than you were at full time at Fir Park on Saturday. So all your thoughts surrounding that game, please get them into us right now. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, I feel like with the biz leading up to kickoff at Ibrox last night, your new defensive signing, we maybe didn't fully get our teeth stuck into that the way that we otherwise might have. We did touch on it, see how he fits in. What does it mean now for Austin Trustee, Liam Scales? What does the pecking order look like? Give us all your thoughts on that signing. And also, what's next? What's the next priority? What are you hoping for? Are you hoping that that's the ball now rolling? Because there's been so much said about the perceived lack of transfers recently. Do you think a lot of them might start to follow now? Calls in, please. The other business, Hearts have added a new signing, bolstering their attack today. Dundee United and Hibs, they're going to go into European qualification. Some tough ties, it has to be said, on paper. Grant Hanley's now a Hibs player. So there is a lot doing the rounds. But give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. I know people in this city, in this part of the world, don't need any incentive at all to get their football opinions off their chest, really tell you without even being asked. However, everyone that calls in goes into the draw for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer Race Night this Saturday. So if you're on the fence about calling, why not phone in? You might win the tickets. Good wee day out on Saturday, featuring Entrance as well. That is a right up your street, honestly. Ross McCormick, I'm thinking of all the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits. I'd say that suits you.
You can just see Ross McCormick's glow sticks.
I can honestly, I can see all day long.
I'm waiting on the one towards the end of the summer with George Bowie at Hamilton Racecourse. Right.
Have I ever told you about this? So, like, he is George Bowie's biggest fan. Genuine, like, the biggest GBX. Comes in here, prowling the corridors, starstruck if he ever catches a glimpse of him. This is a man. Entrance, right up his street. Anyway, I don't know if Ross is going or not, but you could be. If you get your calls in, 01419511025. How's life at Queen's Park, Jim? First time you've had you since your new role in there at Queen's
Park?
Yeah,
it's been great, mate. I mean, obviously, it was something that just came completely out of the blue. Wasn't expecting it. As you know, I was doing a bit of driving and I was enjoying that. So, to get back into football was a complete surprise, but... when you've been involved as long as I have in football and you get the opportunity to go back in again, then, you know, you can't wait to get in amongst that again. But, I've been really enjoying it and, the guys have been great, obviously the staff, the players and that, everything's been good. So, yeah, we've only had one league game, which we drew away to Raith Rovers at the weekend, which is a decent result. And it's going to be tough. Listen, we know it's going to be tough in the Championship. It's always notoriously tough. But yeah, it's a challenge I'm relishing and I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully the players are too.
Have you hung up the chauffeur's cap?
Yes, it's been hung up. Well, for the moment, you never can tell in football. But for the moment, I'm just back involved in. Obviously, it's full time, so therefore, you know, the
needs must.
The time factor would eliminate any chance of doing a bit of driving.
Maybe we'll get Triple H up to a Queen's Park game.
Yeah, possibly. Listen, there was one or two people that was on the agenda there recently. Very controversial in terms of kneecap was one of them. So,
topical. But, I'm not sure Clyde One Super Scoreboard's the platform for that debate, quite frankly.
No. I'm just talking about as in celebrity status, if you want to call it.
Driver to the stars, and now he's back. See, that's how much he loves football. I don't know, offence, Queen's Park, I'd have hung about with Triple H. But anyway, 01419511025, come on, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking tonight. So much to get through. It's a really obvious one to kick off. It's such a wide-ranging question. Rangers fans, what did you make of last night? Gareth is going to take us away. Hi, Gareth.
How you doing, Gordon, Jim and Ross? How are you doing?
Hi, good, Gareth. Thank you, Gareth. Sum it up then, what did you make of it last night?
I went along to the game. It was absolutely brilliant from start to finish. I mean, last 15 minutes... when they'd done the subs, you could see maybe a wee bit of a difference, but absolutely amazing game of football. There was several players could have got man of the match, but Gasserman for the two goals, I think he got it. But it was absolutely fantastic game of football. A good game of football I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, Jim, what did you make of it? How did you sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Gareth's right there. It was a terrific performance from Rangers from start to about 75 minutes. He's right. And then it got a little bit disjointed. We understand that when you make so many substitutions late in the game. But you could see, Russell Martin's philosophy was very evident. It is high risk football. At times, Rangers fans might be watching it through their fingers because they do risk, you know, balls, particularly from the goalkeeper out. And even later on, I think Jack Butland played one to Conor Barron when, you know, you're thinking there's only a couple of minutes to go, just stick it in behind. But that's not the way that Russell Martin is telling his players to play. So yeah, when it comes off, it's very, very effective and very pleasing on the eye. The wingers, I think, were a big plus for Rangers last night, as Ross mentioned earlier on. Direct, positive, setting up goals and scoring goals, and that is the way the game is played now. You tend to find, if you look around Europe, that a lot of the wide players are some of the top goal scorers in the leagues now. We can go about Mohamed Salah, but if you even look at over the last few years at Celtic and stuff like that, like Nicolas Kuhn and Jota and all these kind of guys, Maeda. So Rangers have lacked that. Now they seem to have two players who can contribute. And if they get that balance right in the middle of the pitch, which looked good last night, again, we get back, Lyle Cameron. So the signings that have come in, whether they were Russell Martin's actual signings or whether the club's signing, all made an impact. And that's really positive looking forward for Rangers.
Ross, we'll get to it all and pick our way through it in individuals. But what was like the one redeeming quality about the performance last night? What's the main thing that jumped out and impressed you?
For me, it was just energy. Simple. I've watched Rangers lots of times and sometimes they just look a little bit lethargic, but it was more off the ball. It was the wingers' runs where they were coming short and spinning, running behind. That stretches the teams and that enables the midfielders to get the ball in certain areas. If not, then it's easy for teams to defend against. You can just push up, nothing in behind. You see it with I know we keep going on about Kieran Dowell, and I don't mean to do it, but when you've got someone like Kieran Dowell playing out wide right, all he's going to do is keep coming and coming and coming to feet and feet and feet. You need someone to stretch that game. I thought Ant-Man was terrific. Gassama, as I've touched on him already on this show a few times, he looks electric.
I mean, Gareth, the build-up was so interesting because the performance level at Fir Park, Russell Martin's comments after, then, 48 hours of, okay, who is that aimed at? Who's he talking about? And therefore, will we be able to tell when the team lineup came out? Take me back to 7 o'clock last night when you saw the changes that were made. What did you make of it then?
Well, I was actually on the way to the game and I missed the actual lineup, and my actual friend said that he'd done some massive changes. So I only actually found out when I got to the stadium.
Hey, what did you make of it then when you saw them line up?
I was absolutely like, I thought, wow, he said he was going to do it and he done it. So I take the hat off to him. If I had one on, he definitely made that change, and that at the end of the day, it came off and that was good. But not many managers have done that in the past, and it's paid off. So this is us going forward.
What did you make of it, Ross? When you saw the team, did you think, that was the kind of right call? Did you think it was inevitable given what he said, or surprised by any of it?
Well, I can't sit here and say that it wasn't the right call because it paid off, but I was extremely surprised, certainly by Raskin and Tavernier. I would probably say Tavernier, especially considering how Max Aarons had started in the first couple of games on the left. I didn't think, if anything, he probably didn't warrant to switch to the right and take the club captain out of the team. The Raskin one surprised me as well, but they've got a few players in now. Raskin, towards the end of last season, I know he was the best player, but probably hasn't started too well as well. But I was surprised. It wasn't a massive. There was a lot of noise around some players, wasn't there? So I think sooner or later, Russell's probably going to bow down to a little bit of that pressure.
You've seen all this before, Jim. Mm-hmm. You heard it all before. Can managers be openly critical? Should they be as critical? Is it throwing players under the bus? Do you need to keep the players on side? Can you drop big players out? All that stuff, and it was a great example of last night of big decisions that had to be made.
But also, you've got to strengthen your own convictions, and ultimately you can get away with comments at times, Gordon, when you have success. Now, no one's getting carried away. It's a one match. Rangers have to build on that, and then they have to be consistent. They had some terrific performances under Philip Clement at times, and various managers, even Michael Beale and Van Bronckhorst, they've had periods where they've looked good, but it's that level of consistency. So that's going to take time. But when you make the big call, as Ross said there, where it's the captain, Raskin for me is an interesting one because Raskin is high energy, and normally you want somebody with high energy in the middle of the pitch, getting to people, triggering the press, all these things. But he does run all over the place at times. And I think Russell Martin, the way he wants to play is he wants his defenders to know where the midfield players are. And at times Raskin's all over the place. So that can sometimes, confuse defenders. Whereas if he's got the balance of the midfield players in there, then they can pop it and play through as his style demands. So it'll be an interesting one to see how Raskin adapts, because I think he's going to have to put the brakes on a little bit if he wants to play for Russell Martin and not be as dynamic as he has been.
What do you think of leaving James Tavernier out? I mean, we did say, it was always going to be a big deal if it happened. It did actually happen in Europe last season as well, but then it didn't really come to much. And when he comes back in the team, which he might do this time, but... Were you surprised at that one?
A wee bit surprised, but I think when he brings Aarons in, I think everyone thought, well, he's a right back. Why is he bringing him in? Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, well, if he's bringing him in, he's got to be bringing him in to play him.
At some point,
I mean, he's not bringing him in. Yeah, he filled in at left back, but really that's it. Now, whether Rangers go out and bring in another left back, because he's obviously Yilmaz supposed to be leaving, obviously Jeff to come back in last night, maybe not, the answer, but he done okay last night. So I think they still might find that he might bring a left back, and I think that James Tavernier might have a decision to make over the next couple of weeks, because if he's had a conversation with the manager did say he had a conversation, it was a difficult one, but if he's had a conversation and he's thinking, well, listen, I brought Aarons into play,
then James Tavernier's got a big decision to make, because there's only, you know, what, 3 weeks left in the window now, so he'll have a big decision to make. Does he stay and fight for his place, or does he know and accept that his time's up at Rangers, it's time to move on?
Good man, Gareth. Gareth was first through tonight, first in the hat for the Ayr race course tickets as well. David's next on the line. What jumped out for you last night, David?
I think one of the things is he's made his big decisions, he's made his comments, and he's stuck by them, and they got a fantastic result last night. I thought the guys on going wide, Gassama and Admin, looked, I mean, it's only one game, but the difference from the Motherwell game is unbelievable. But the pace won both sides, and I think another huge difference that nobody's seen to mention, Dessers on the park. He, a great wee pass for Gassama's goal, and his work rate and his hold-up play, it just kind of made Rangers a different kind of monster on the park.
I mean, yeah, how could they not talk about the wide men, Jim? Oliver Antman's signing, we didn't talk about it as much as we otherwise would have in the show, because it was totally overshadowed by the response the comments, to the game at Fir Park. He then gets pitched straight in. I mean, remember last season, it felt like every signing Rangers made had to wait a few weeks and get settled and get moved in and get their flat-pack furniture built. Mm-hmm. That was all the jokes. This guy comes straight and plays like that last night.
Yeah,
that
I mean, he's
nice.
Basically hardly in the building. They just got him registered in time and he was thrown straight in. And, you know, again, it showed the faith that the manager had in him. And somebody, obviously, like Russell Martin, had great belief that he could go in there and handle the occasion, demands, and also, you know, turn up, you know, and perform, which he did do, and Gassama as well. You know, I mean, scoring goals, we mentioned, coming in from the wide area into the back post, which is a, you know, something that, as I say, the Rangers have been lacking. There's no question about that. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. Although David, I think, picks a good point with Dessers. Dessers gives him a focal point. I think he's one of those ones, he's been Marmite at Rangers, isn't he? You know, I mean, he's been one of those ones that's divided opinion, because his record, I think, is 52 goals, I was saying last night, in 112 games, which is actually a really good record than any other time. You would think almost one every two, and yet the criticism he gets is probably undeserved at times. But when he's not playing in the team, I think Rangers are weaker. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think Rangers have a better striker than him. I think he's better than Danilo. He's obviously in Gaman. We'll have to wait and see what happens with him. But I think Dessers, and all credit to him, because he's a guy that has taken a fair bit, and he still seems to go on that pitch and give everything all the time. He seems to, I'm not saying he welcomes criticism, but he seems to deal with it better than a lot of players could have dealt with it. So fair play to him. I think he's got a strong character, Cyril Dessers.
Yeah, I think Jim's right there to bring up the goal record. What you also got to remember that is a lot of strikers these days who have got a sort of 1-2 record, it's a fantastic record, but you add a lot of penalties into that, don't you? He doesn't take penalties when Tavernier's on the pitch.
First one last night.
Yeah, apart from last night, yeah.
That's right.
So it's a phenomenal record. Mm-hmm. Quite right, 100%. Rangers are a better team with Dessers on the side. It's just getting to that point where he's getting to an age where his value might not go any higher. The Rangers accept an offer that comes in, or do they stick with him? I said all last season, I like watching him. I know he misses chances and stuff, but I also said if he didn't miss them chances, he wouldn't be at Rangers.
I think you also have to say, Ross, I mean, you played at the very top level, is that sometimes a striker, you know, when he's asked to do different things, like Dessers, hold the play up, bring other players in, he's coming towards the play, and you're leaving the space for the wingers. Like last night, for instance, we're getting beyond them, whereas the Rangers haven't had that maybe in the last year or so, that electric pace that can go in behind. So he's been doing maybe his part, but other guys haven't, so therefore when he misses chances, it's actually the spotlight's on even more. But last night, although he didn't have a lot of chances to score himself, the other guys chipped in, and that makes a big difference, Gordon, you know, in terms of how people perceive the game.
David, we were talking there about, obviously, it's the right outcome, so the changes work, if you want to be really broad about it. Were you sort of in favour of that? Did you want the changes made that were made last night? Or did you have reservations?
One of them that surprised me was him dropping Raskin. I'm a great supporter. I think he's a fabulous player, and I haven't seen him playing badly. But Tavernier, no offence, he's been a great player for Rangers. The last, maybe, season, and then the start of this season, it just doesn't, he's not got the pace, I don't think, anymore to be the sort of right back. He's just, I wouldn't say he's a liability, but he's not the player he was two or three seasons ago. and I think Ian Aaron's as a right back should be playing, and Tavernier just needs to buckle down and fight for his place.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll see how that pans out in the next coming weeks. Thank you very much to David. He's also in the hat for the tickets to Ayr Races. 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Russell Martin when we return.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Ross McCormick are here. Let's hear from Russell Martin. Last night, around this time, these phone lines were jammed with people speculating about what changes would be made. Then we get the news of them, and it was quite big news to say the least. Well, this is what the manager had to say on the subject of the changes.
No one person is harder than the other in terms of conversation. It's not easy. I think when you care about the players and you're desperate for them to do well, it's not an easy conversation ever. But I'm just always honest with him. Why are they coming out? Why I pick someone else? And they just don't have to agree at all. But hopefully they respect a bit of honesty. And I think their reaction when they came on the pitch tonight says everything. They were great. We spoke about everyone having a clean slate and stuff, so what's gone on before I had no control over at all. So it doesn't hold a huge amount of weight right now, because I think in football there's a tendency to always look back at what someone's done and all that stuff, and you need to be judged on what we're doing right now. And I just felt it was the right call for the team, so it's not personal. It was about what was best for us tonight, and Lyle Cameron's energy was best for us tonight, and playing Max in his natural position, having Jeff Day playing with a left foot, really helped us tonight.
You liked Lyle Cameron last night?
I did, Jay, but I must admit I was a little bit surprised by that when he referenced his energy as what they needed tonight, as if, because I think that's probably Raskin's best quality.
But then presumably, again, if we're dissecting the comments from Saturday, he obviously didn't think he saw that, because he spoke about running.
Yeah.
Didn't he? You know, so
I think with Cameron, Gordon, what impressed me, it wasn't even the fact if he was getting on the ball or things like that. It was more, I was watching him off the ball, the runs that he was making where he would just take off and he would just run in behind. And that opens everything up. Someone's got to go with him. It gives space for a ball to be played, you know, in a line into Desser's feet. Wingers can come inside and get it. It just opens everything up. It's not that I wasn't impressed with Cameron at Dundee, but I think he can go to another level in Rangers. I've seen a bit in him now. A couple of games I've watched him play where he has really impressed me, and it's not just the energy. When he gets the ball, he is tidy on the ball.
Let's bring in John and get his thoughts on it. John.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, can you hear me? Yeah,
got you, John. On you go.
Hi. Oh, just a couple of points there, touching on what Jim was saying earlier on. Look, maybe it could be time for Tavernier to move on. It's a bold move, putting him on the bench. I was surprised with Raskin getting put on the bench. I think that was a big surprise to probably everybody in the stadium outside and watching it on the TV. But you're right, Tavernier's given us, 10, 11 years. He's been good servant. I think it's maybe just time. He can't really defend. He's good at going forward. He's scored a lot of penalties, we know that. But maybe it's just change. And maybe the boy, Aarons, I think, was playing at left-back last week. Mm-hmm. I think he's originally a right-back. So, Jesty coming in, he was actually pretty good last night, to be honest with you, when he came on and showed what he can maybe do. So maybe the manager's got a bit of faith and he's maybe a wee bit hungry and say, I'm going to try and take that opportunity. So, obviously, what do you think yourselves? Because obviously we're talking about it.
How do you think Aarons did at right back, Jim?
Yeah, much more comfortable. You can see that, you know, that obviously the link up on that side of the pitch was very positive for Rangers, obviously with Oliver Antman on that side of the pitch as well. Defensively, I thought his positional was good for a few crosses. He got himself into good positions where he just had a little flick header. People might think that's simple, but it's been in the right position. It's been aware of the danger. So I thought he did that very well. There wasn't a lot of one-to-one situations he had to deal with. But yeah, overall, I mean, John, I mean, he's not the first person that's referenced James Tavernier's lack of defensive attributes, if you want to say that. I always think he's been a bit harshly treated because anybody that scores over 100 goals, and I think he's got hundreds of assists as well, it's done an outstanding job in certain aspects. But there does come a time, you do have a shelf life. Doesn't matter who you are, and doesn't matter how talented you are and how good a player you are, you do have a shelf life, and perhaps he's come at the end of that shelf life at Rangers. And if Max Ahrens has come in, a new manager, we heard Russell Martin there saying they're a clean slate. That is probably a wee bit something that James Tavernier doesn't want to hear. He wants to hear someone saying, listen, you know, we understand how well you've done over those 10 years, so you will be my captain.
That really jumped out at me there, just purely because I think usually when we hear about when managers say players have got a clean slate, we usually think that is aimed at the people who haven't been good, so to speak, and can now prove themselves again. But just when I heard that there, I also thought about Raskin as well, because as you said, he finishes last season as Rangers' best player. We spend the summer talking about maybe he could be the one to move. He's a Belgian international now. Maybe he's the one to move on, maybe bring in a big fee. But Russell Martin's saying there that the clean slate works both ways.
He's basically saying there, it doesn't matter what you've done for this club in the past. I don't care how good you've been or how good a servant you've been. If I don't think that you're good enough to play in my team, then you won't be playing in my team. But I can't get with this whole James Tavernier. He's came to the, as Jim said, the shelf life, came at the end of it.
I think it's too early for that stuff.
100%, yeah. I think even when you seen him come on last night, he picked the ball up at one point, played 2-1-2s and played Gassama through. You're trying to tell me that he can't play in that position? No, I can't get that. I can't get with that at all.
How impressed, John, were you overall, considering it comes off the back of that Motherwell game?
John. Hello.
Hi, John. How impressed were you?
It broke up there. You're saying how impressed,
Yeah, just how impressed were you, given that it was just on the back of that Motherwell game?
Look, 3-0 at home to that side. I don't know if it was maybe just Rangers were that good. They looked quite poor, to be honest with you, but at the end of the day, they're at Ibrox, the atmosphere. Rangers were on their game last night. Great. Hope to get through to the next round. Some of the players that came in was a breath of fresh air. What I've not touched on, I don't know if anybody else is, Rothwell, was that the right surname I've got?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's absolutely different class in there. He puts me in mind of a younger Ian Durant. He was showing for the ball. He was looking for it. He was going into spaces. He's touching the ball. He hardly gives the ball away if he does. He's different class in that midfield. I don't know what you think of that also.
Well, that's part of the puzzle as well, isn't it now? Because if another reason for Nicholas Raskin now maybe not playing is that's kind of his role usually, or his spot in the team, and he's maybe having to accommodate Joe Rothwell, and maybe that's part of why the performance dropped at the weekend. Or
yeah, I mean, there's two parts of that. Putting Joe Rothwell, who's played a couple of games for Rangers, in the same sentence as Ian Durant is probably, it's a little bit far right now.
We make
but,
big statements on this show.
I've seen him play a lot last year for Leeds, and I must admit I was really impressed. He's always available for the ball. Very rarely does he give it away. He doesn't really make many bad or wrong decisions on the ball. So, said at the time he'll be a good signing for Rangers, but with the Raskin one, it's probably interesting because I look at Rangers last season and probably in all the games where Raskin was getting man of the match and playing really well, getting rave reviews, was in the games where Rangers weren't dominating the ball. So it's interesting that Russell Martin's came to the club and his main philosophy is to dominate possession of the football for the full game as much as they can. And he seems to prefer someone like a Joe Rothwell to a
Nicholas Raskin.
So that's interesting for me.
Thank you, John. He's in the hat for the tickets to the races as well. Let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin, his thoughts on, well, since you were talking about the midfield and so on, Lyle Cameron.
Lyle was fantastic. Really, his energy helped the team a lot. did exactly what we asked him to do, showed real moments of quality, but just for his energy and his willingness to run for the team selflessly was immense. So I'm really pleased for him, because we've obviously made a lot of signings and he's probably gone under the radar a little bit, but he's desperate to do well, desperate to learn, and has a lot of attributes. I've been really impressed with him. So he hasn't played a lot in pre-season, had a couple of niggly injuries, but he's going to really help us, and we are going to need everyone. I've said this to the guys, like, it's not I don't often see us going the same 11 week in, week out, especially with European games and stuff, so everyone needs to be ready. And the guys who play tonight on Sunday morning made the mind up, really, because you're sort of deciding what to do with the team after Saturday and recognising it needs something a bit different. And the guys train Sunday morning like absolute beasts. And now tomorrow, the guys that are not, were not in the team again, need to do the same. So we need to live there all the time at this football club, and I'm really pleased with him.
OK, let's bring in Gary, who's next on the line. How are you, Gary?
Hi, how are you doing, guys? All right?
Yes, take it away.
I just a wee quick couple of points. Perfect, I thought it was a good performance. A wee bit dodgy in the second half. But I thought it was a wee bit strange, apart from the Raskin booking, what you guys thought about that. Also, why, if we're 3-0 up, then why bring Raskin on? I mean, he potentially could have been getting a second yellow card.
It was a strange one, that. He was a sub at the time. Yeah. For anyone who's not seen it, he's warming up. He kind of touched the guy as he was taking a throw in, but he didn't really pull him or anything, did it? They said that it was for dissent, so I'm not quite sure unless he said something to the officials, one of the officials, or not, who knows.
But I mean, Gary's point is probably relevant in some aspects, you know, that you are taking a risk if somebody's been booked and then you put them on the pitch, because sometimes I think maybe even if you take someone off later in the game, you know, you would try and protect players just in case there's anything silly. And that was the only thing it could have damaged Rangers last night, was maybe getting another booking or something for one of the players and finding yourself with 10 men. So yeah, that was maybe a little bit. But he's also, I think, wanting to make sure, as is Russell Martin explained in his interview there, that we spoke to the players and they saw the right response. So he's probably having to see, like, what type of response am I going to get for these players here? Are you part of the squad, the team, if you want to call it? Are you buying into what I'm saying here? Or have you thrown the toys out the pram? So he probably had to throw them on in some aspects just to see their reaction. And he did get a positive reaction from the players. So that's, from the manager's point of view, I can get it. But yeah, if you want to be looking at it from a risk point of view, yeah, there was probably a risk that he could have picked up at. Because he did have a tackle in one of them, and some referees can be a wee bit over fussy at times.
Ross, it was just a strange one, the strange booking. Get Gary's point. I suppose it's fine now, isn't it, when it all when it passes without that incident.
No second yellow when he came on the pitch. I think I can only really remember one sort of foul that he made, where it was probably a little bit like the penalty decision, just puts his leg in the way of his leg, nothing in it at all. But no, I think it probably shows a level of trust as well from Russell Martin. Probably said to him as soon as he went on, listen, don't you go near anyone. I'm trusting
just,
you.
Just for the record, we don't tend to debate decisions that go in favour of our teams in Europe, but was that a penalty for both of you, take it? Or
I think it was a penalty, but it was, I mean, like, everybody goes on about the soft side, I mean, but it was, because he does clip his ankles, and when you're running at pace and you get a little clip in the ankle, then you're going to get down. So that's the nature of football these days. So I think it's... You know, with a letter of law, it's a penalty.
What did you make of the wide areas, Gary? A lot's been made about Oliver Antman coming in and Gassama scoring again.
Yeah, definitely. Played the two boys to start. The Antman looks really, really, really quick. Skillful player, chases back, which was good to see. I thought around about 65 minutes, we kind of slowed the pace down a lot. Can I let them in a wee bit? But yeah, take 3-0 going over there, definitely.
I think, Jim, as well, like, you, Ranger, it feels like Rangers fans, you would have been impressed anyway, but it feels like a long, long, long time that they've been crying out for a bit of quality in wide areas. It's just, yeah, it's the one area above all that they've not really been able to address for a long time.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I think Ryan Kent, when he had that kind of period there under Steven Gerrard and stuff like that, although he was an out winger, he was coming into a 10 and stuff like that, but he was in that role.
There's always been one side.
Yeah, exactly. But since then, Rangers have been crying out for that balance of both wingers, and both have hit the ground running. They don't, you know. Listen, you have to go the other way. I mean, Rangers dropped 2 points at the weekend against Motherwell. I don't think that should just be brushed under the carpet, because if you actually looked at Rangers, like from, you know, the start of the season, you'd be looked at their fixtures and thought, well, Motherwell away, and then you've got the European tie, then you've got home to Dundee, stuff like that. So you would have looked to bank on pretty much 6 points, get, you know, make sure you start really positively. So there's still a wee bit of negativity there, but, you know, last night definitely helped. There's no doubt it helped. I think fans having a little bit more belief in the manager, players playing in their natural positions. The new signings, as you mentioned, Cameron, Antman, Gassaman, you know, the Rothwell, you know, all turned up. I think, you know, there was a lot of positivity last night, and that's something that Rangers need. But as I say, the only way they can continue that is by winning again at the weekend.
I'm obliged to tell people to gamble responsibly, but you'd be delighted if you had Nicholas Raskin to be booked, wouldn't you? Didn't even need to come on the pitch to get it sorted out for you. Anyway, thank you to Gary. Let me tell you about this before we move on. It's getting closer to the big day, so please make sure you do not miss out. £546,000 on the line. Someone has to win it, so it might as well be you. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Now, those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. If you want to go for just one entry, then text YES to 61025, and those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate as well. You can call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Now, I said we're getting closer, 5pm on Friday. Don't just forget to enter. That would be the worst. You'd be kicking yourself. £546,000 up for grabs, straight into your bank account as well, in time for the weekend. Go to makemeawinner.co.uk and good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy's here, so is Ross McCormick, and they are joined now by Stephen in Kirkintilloch. How's it going, Stephen?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What you got for us?
Well, listen, first of all, obviously, Celtic fan. Glad Celtic started the season with a victory. But my main point is, really underwhelmed by Celtic's transfer activity. You know, I feel as if the players that we have in place just now, the likes of Yang, you know, I've been hypercritical of them over all the last season. For me, he's not a first team starter by anywhere, by Celtic standards. And I'm just worried that Celtic's just their lacklustre transfer activity is going to cause them to overpay like they did for the last two biggest signings. You know, these guys have been proven, for me, that they're not worth the money that we paid for them. And I think if we'd bought them earlier in the transfer window, we wouldn't have paid so much for them, you know?
I think that, obviously you're referring to Ida and Engels. I think Engels is one where I still think he's got real talent, but he's very young, and I think that he's needing to know how to play for Celtic. The demands, I think he will have learned a lot from last year, and I genuinely think he'll be a lot better this year, Stephen. Whether it justifies a fee of £10-11 million, whatever it happens to be, is obviously, you know, up to everybody else's opinion. But certainly that's just the nature of where we are. I mean, I'm looking, you know, I think it was yesterday, Liverpool signed a young boy, £15 million. I think it was Tyler Morton or something like that. He's hardly played a game, you know. So that's just the market we live in. So I think it's maybe a wee bit unfair someday to judge players that come to the club for the value, because that's just the market. Adam Eder's the same, you know. So, but I do agree with you in terms of the wide areas. I think that when Jota have been injured, obviously, if you're still relying, and no disrespect, James Forrest, the most decorated player, still a phenomenal Celtic player, but Celtic should have a little bit more quality in those. And I think Brendan Rodgers has alluded to that several times in interviews. I just can't believe, particularly when Jota got injured several months ago, that that should have accelerated Celtic's transfer plans to get players of that quality and to make sure that they weren't weak in the wide areas. And the way that Brendan Rodgers wants to play as well, he wants his wide players either keeping right on the touchline or coming in inverted. If he's going to play Tierney on that side, he needs other players to go and supplement or complement that. So yeah, I do agree with you that they seem to have been dragging their heels a little bit. I can only presume it's just because the market has exploded. We just need to look at every single day. We look at the TV, we see the amount of money that players are going for. And I just think that, you know, salary-wise, if you add that into the balance as well, it's just becoming out of reach, even for clubs like Celtic.
I've no doubt it is hard in a way, but Stephen, do you just think that it can be done? You just need to find a way. You think other clubs are doing their business and just Celtic need to find a way?
Well, listen, you only have to look across the road. I mean, rivalry aside, Rangers have come out, addressed the weaknesses they had last season. They've managed to bring in their players. They're making an impact for them, you know. I just believe that the Celtic board are great at telling us how well the club is run and how much money we have in the bank. But see, ultimately, fans don't really care about that. We care about the product that's on the pitch. That's what we pay. I don't pay to look at balances. I pay to go and see attacking football, a very specific way that we like to play football. This is the first season that I can remember for a long, long time where it was in a summer transfer window where there's been no blue chip signing. Celtic has always, and Rangers to that matter, have always been clubs that have had offensively strong lineups. We're considerably weaker than what we were last season, and I just think it's criminal. And ultimately, I think it will lead to the likes of Brendan, who's a fantastic manager, elite manager, leaving and having to reset all over again. And it annoys me when we're in a position when we have the money and we have the funds. I mean, Celtic fans are saying, go and spend £50 million on five or six players. But what we are seeing is it's so difficult for Celtic to maybe go and get £4, £5, £6 million players, because we were buying these in the early 2000s, you know, and in the 90s. Well, we look as if we're back to paying 1998 prices with some of the deals and offers we've been putting in. You know, it's laughable, to be honest.
Stephen, it's interesting you mentioned the blue chip signings, because if you rewind back 12 months, you probably had two of them, and two of them were probably nowhere near your top five performers of the season. Engels, 11 million, 9, Ida. I think Celtic have got a problem. I think every club that they approach now, that selling club know fine well the financial power that Celtic have got, so they're looking for more money. I think probably another thing that maybe hasn't been touched on as much as it possibly could have is, there could be players there waiting. There could be players there waiting to see. For me, last week, Brendan Rodgers' interview, we spoke about it, didn't we, Gordon, on Saturday. He said he's not here to maintain standards, he's here to elevate them. That means that the players that he's wanting to bring in have got to be better than the players that are already there. And for me, looking at that, those players that would be better than what Celtic have got at the minute, regardless what you think of them, will be looking to get to Champions League clubs. They could be sat there waiting, thinking, right, we'll make our decision based on whether Celtic get to the Champions League or not. Whether you like it or not, Marvin Bartley had a good point the other day. Great point. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Gordon.
Never.
He said that when he was down south, he didn't realise how big Celtic was. There'll be a lot of players out there on the continent who don't realise how big a club Celtic are. So if they got offered a smaller sized club, but they're in the Champions League, the same money, footballers are going there. They're going for the money.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a long time since we heard a Celtic fan on the phone saying, oh, look at what Rangers are doing in their transfer window. It's been not.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I know, Gordon, I mean, Rangers had to do it. Yeah. Rangers, no disrespect, but Rangers finished 17 points behind Celtic last year, so they have to change quite dramatically. Celtic are trying to improve upon the likes of McGregor, Hatate, guys like that. That is much more difficult.
Let's squeeze in one more. Kenny's on the line in Yoker, just along the road. How are you, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. What are you thinking, Kenny?
Well, I was coming on to say something completely different, and then, well, I'll still say it quickly, but...
Go on, say it. Whatever it was.
Well, the first thing I was going to say is I'm going to be accused of being obsessed by the Rangers fans about them, because I'm a Celtic fan, but I'm just listening again to all this cheerleading regarding Rangers, not just necessarily with you guys and some of the comments he's making, but Last night, for instance, that is one of the worst teams I've ever seen in Scotland play against, Victoria Pleasant playing Rangers last night. And I don't know how they can measure, you know, all the plaudits that seem to be going Rangers' way after the victory they had last night. I really don't know how you are measuring. If they come up against a better team in Europe, then it's going to be a completely different, as is Celtic, by the way, if we come up against a good team. But I just don't understand, firstly, what all these plaudits are going. It just seems to me as if it's a little bit of cheerleading.
Oh, look, I didn't think they were brilliant either. I'm not going to lie and say that I thought they were great. But you alluded to it, is this not just that kind of downside of this rivalry, though, Kenny? Like, it feels like any time if Rangers have a good result in Europe, you say, you know, the opposition are rubbish. You know, there must be a bit more to it than that. Is there any credit there for the way Rangers played? And listen, it was not like it was 1-0, it was 3, it was going on more than that. So, you know, they beat Servette to get here again. I'm not saying that's brilliant, but it's not some like part-time player that they've just plucked off the street to come and play.
No, I mean, see, I get that point. But
beat Sociedad last season, stuff like that in Europe. You know, they're fine. They're a fine European team. Yeah, didn't think they looked great last night, but
I get that point. But I'm a different kind of Celtic fan, and I've got friends that are Rangers fans as well. And we, after an Old Firm game, Gordon, we can talk about the football and leave all the other rubbish aside. So what I will say about Rangers is that it's the first game I've watched fully. I watched the full game last night because I do enjoy football. The rivalry stuff, that's your pals at the pub, right? But I can watch a good game of football. So that's where I'm coming from. It's not because I'm a Celtic fan. I just don't understand. What I will say is, if that was Celtic playing a team of that stature, it would be totally different the next day of what people are saying because of where Celtic's at as a club. I don't think the plaudits would be as much because of where Rangers have been.
But that's fine, though, isn't it? Because look how bad they were at the weekend. So you're going to, like, set a bar. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
What do you mean? Sorry, say that again.
So, yeah, it's inevitable that a part of this is because Rangers were so poor at the weekend and then there's an improvement, but that still doesn't have to take away from, you know, like I said, I think we're in danger.
As a Scottish team winning 3-0 at home in Europe, we should be lauding it. And it's the same as when Celtic beat Slovan Bratislava 5-0 last year, and they were terrible, you know, but Celtic winning, and we laud that because you're wanting your Scottish teams to do well, Kenny, and therefore, you know, we're poor enough at times in Europe without us trying to drag a performance down. Rangers played the team it was in on the pitch against them, played well, deserved to win 3-0, and their new signings, you know, did well. We already criticised them for the weekend performance, so we're talking about this performance, which was a good performance against a mediocre team on the night. But that's, you can only beat who's in front of you.
Okay, thank you to Kenny, because it's time for us to play a big game of our own. In fact, we're late, let's get stuck in.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Will it be? Have you played this season, Ross?
I've not, no. Not.
Could be Jim Duffy's first of the season as well. If you fancy it, give us a call, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second half on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy. Lots of reaction coming into last night's game at Ibrox. The team performance, the result, the individual contributions, the reaction to Russell Martin's comments and team selection. There's still loads to get through. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. So please get the calls in there just before the news. Once again, looking at Celtic's transfer business, it's the ongoing theme of the last few weeks. One for you Celtic fans maybe to note, Khairat Almaty of Kazakhstan. They've beaten Slovan Bratislava 1-0 in the first leg. It was a 90th minute penalty, so obviously the second leg will add to that and then determine who Celtic will play in the following round. I think Celtic would rather travel to Slovakia, certainly logistically, but that's the way it lies at the moment. So whatever is on your mind, don't forget, Air Racecourse tickets on offer. You win the hat as long as you get through to speak to the panel tonight. So do that right now for us if you can, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy are both awaiting their first performance, their first appearance, I should say, of the season. So let's see how they fare against Dominic from Falkirk. How are you, Dominic?
Not good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good, I like it. Play along at home and all that stuff, do okay?
Aye, it's always different being at home. Aye, I'm alright at home, but aye, anything could happen.
Pressure's on. Do you know what I like? I put the producer came in during the break, just as an aside here, just thinking about Dominic. Sounds like quite a young man phoning in. Someone phoned in to the line there, the usual number, and thought it was the university IT helpline because his mate had told him if he wants his computer fixed to phone this number. He's phoned Super Scoreboard. It'd be great to just put him straight through.
I hope the producers helped him out.
That would have been chaotic, wouldn't it?
Worked him out with his problem, his issue.
Let us know. Like that time, is it not the famous one on the BBC where he's like Jim Duffy's a driver or something, and he accidentally gets shoved in front of the camera. And
all right,
you never seen that one before. And he ends up getting, he's either got the same name or there's a mix up, and he's getting quizzed on like some big breaking news story or some feature. And the guy's just sitting there, not got a clue what's going on.
Get just like us.
Well,
not got a clue.
Right. Oh no.
Soon they find out in a minute.
My new coin. Where is it?
Oh, I don't
like this. This is a disaster. No, I've got. Have you not seen it? You not heard the news?
No.
Let's see how quick producer
Jay is. I thought it was a Jaffa cake you were flipping.
I reckon it'll be on producer John's desk in the office.
No, you just have to use
the Jaffa cake.
You need to find it. You need to find it. I'll tell you
chocolate
why.
Or sponge.
I think the majority of the time it's landed on Jim's side, hasn't
don't
it?
Don't worry, Zenith coins. I haven't lost it. Right. I think it's in the office. I'll just flip the Jaffa cake.
Chocolate or sponge?
Right, chocolate's Jim Duffy because he's clearly off the chocolate. Look at him. what shape he's in these days. Ross McCormick, you're the sponge.
What are you going to say about that?
I don't know. Duffy's the chocolate, right, okay. McCormick's the sponge. There we go.
Yes, chocolate.
Who wants to eat it? Anyway, Jim Duffy will take on Dominic from Falkirk. So we'll give Jim something else to listen to. Dominic, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, you're stuck.
Good man. Right. We'll get your 30 seconds on the clock, Dominic, and your time starts now. Which is older, Oliver Antman or the first Spider-Man film to come out?
Sorry, can you see that?
What's older, Oliver Antman or the first Spider-Man release?
First Spider-Man, sorry, first Spider-Man.
Which Celtic player wears number 14?
The pass.
Who did Aberdeen defeat to win the Cup Winners' Cup?
Real Madrid.
How many footballs are on Motherwell's badge?
Two.
Who's top of the Scottish Premiership?
Harsh.
Hibs' front line in the 50s were known as the famous
Five.
Dundee United's next European opponents are from which country?
Serbia.
Say that again?
Serbia.
Okay, let's bring him back. Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
Oh.
Too busy talking to students who need IT help. What a rogue question we've got in here.
What is it?
Do you not hear it either?
No.
Right, okay. You ready?
Rogue question.
Time starts now. Which is older, Oliver Antman or the first Spider-Man release?
Right, I don't know, Antman's 20 odd. Go for Spider-Man.
Which Celtic player wears the number 14?
Is that Luke McKevin?
Who did Aberdeen defeat to win the Cup Winners' Cup?
Real Madrid.
How many footballs are on Motherwell's badge?
One.
Who is top of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
Hibs' front line in the 50s were known as the famous
Five.
Dundee United's next European opponents are from which country?
Vienna. That's Vienna's a country. Austria. Is that Austria?
What do you think, Falkirk? His name's Dominic. He's from Falkirk.
From Falkirk.
This Jaffa cake. Wondering if producer Jay's bringing the coin in, and that first question have got my brain scrambled.
Me, I know.
What do you think, Dominic? Have you done enough?
Well, I think it might depend on how kind you are with his last answer there.
There is that as well. Right, which is older, Oliver Antman, Ant-Man, right. Spider-Man, yeah. Filming in Glasgow, okay, get yeah. it? Listen, you know what they're like. Mm-hmm. Antman was born 2001, Spider-Man was released 2002.
Oh, there you go.
So, Antman's older. What did you say?
I said Spider-Man.
What did you say, Dominic?
I see Spider-Man.
Yeah, anyway. Celtic player who wears number 4. Anyone seen that, by the way? Like some of my brother-in-law, my in-law's working in town and he's like, just Spider-Man's flying past the window.
I don't get it, do you? People do you going into town to try and get a picture of...
If you have a kid and that stuff like
I'm
that.
Somewhere, kids, yeah, but grown adults.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I wouldn't purposely go... imagine you're sitting at your office and Spider-Man flies past your window. There's something quite cool about it. But nah, I don't know if I'd get out my way.
In Glasgow, that may be not that surprising. That's a few Spider-Man flying past windows in the
Battles
of the
Justice or whatever they're called, dressed up.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Guys climbing up windows now at 4 a.m.
Jim is 1-0 up. That was the Maryhill upbringing and him speaking there. Right, Aberdeen did beat Real Madrid to win the Cup Winners' Cup. You both got it. Jim stays one in front. Clearly a guess from you both, but there is one football on Motherwell's badge. Jim Duffy goes 2 in front. Hearts are top though. Dominic, you were all right. I could tell you were decent. You kept your composure. You got Hearts. You got the famous 5. But these were right up Jim's street as well. I'll be harsh on him. I'm not giving him Vienna. I needed Austria straight off the bat, even though he's technically right. But even if I do that to you, Dominic, it's not enough. So a 1-2-3 for you and a 5 for Jim Duffy, I think. Hard lines, Dominic.
My pal came on this a wee while ago and won it, so I'm never going to get the end of that.
No, who did he beat?
Dominic, you're going to get a bit of stick, mate. You're going to have to accept it.
Who did he beat?
Charlie Mulgrew.
Exactly. Are you, who's your team, Dominic?
Celtic.
What are you thinking as a Celtic fan right now?
I've been listening to a few of the calls. It's been, I know what it sounds, kind of like hysterical about some of the like wacky transfers and that, but we kind of knew a few of the positions that he strengthened, like even watching the Scottish Cup final at the end of last season. So it's been a wee bit frustrating. It's been a bit slow, but hopefully they've got their eye on a few players like after the Champions League. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, is that the bit? Because I suppose you can. People would say you should never get caught out because you should always be succession planning. But maybe, you know, if you suddenly lose a player you didn't expect to, is that, do you think, is that the frustration? Because you sound quite sensible, sound level-headed about it. Is that the frustration that the bits that Celtic probably need to address, they've kind of known, certainly, you know, since Kyogo left, since, I remember interviewing Brendan Rodgers when the injury to Jota. And he said then that changed his transfer plans already. They were already looking for a wide man and they wanted another. So that was, you know, that was before the end of last season. Is that the frustration, Dominic, that it's felt like? I'm just wondering, do you know what? Like, I'm distracted here. What Chris Boyd is phoning me right now. And do you know what it makes me think? Because he obviously knows I do this as a job and I'm busy. It genuinely makes me think he's out and trying to get involved and beat the pundit. Because he's done it before.
He wanted to beat the pundit. Well, he'll just have to phone up at the right time, same as everyone else.
And we stitched up.
There's no preference.
We stitched up Roger Hanna. He can phone the normal number. He's not getting through in the hotline. Anyway, Dominic, sorry, the question about, you know, knowing what you needed, sort of thing. Is that the frustration?
Even you can tell he's not sure about who's wanted part of Vickers, for example, as well. I know we've brought in the boys from Man City, but I don't know what he's going to be like. So there's one of the things. It's just been slow, frustrating. But like I'm saying, they're still a bad thing. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, fair enough. Dominic sounds fairly calm about it. We'll check. Maybe feeling different in 3 weeks.
I'm just thinking, I'm just going to be 4-6 my little now, so I don't need to think.
Are you brave enough to tell us where you work?
I work locally with Falkirk. There's a few folk that might be listening now, so I've got a few messages before I go in the morning.
He's in trouble. Thank you very much to Dominic on the line, 01419511025. Give us your thoughts, please. Let's go, David and Wisher. How's it going, David?
Not bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What are you thinking tonight, David? What made you call?
I was at the game on Sunday, Celtic against St Mirren, squeaky mountain. Now, I'm a good fan of Maeda, right? Now, I come away shaking my head, and I wondered if I was thinking right or not. I don't think Maeda and Kieran Tierney gels. I think Maeda's better in the middle. But I don't know if he's going to be played that way or not, but for me, no, that's not going to happen, because he likes down the wing himself, so I think he's going to put it in front. What do you think?
Yeah, interesting. I've seen this discussed a bit since the weekend. What's your take on it?
It's got to take time, that's for sure, David, in terms of how they work together, you know, because you're right in some of the aspects, whereas Maeda does like to, you know, have that space run into. And Tierney's more of a wider left back, if you want to call it that. He doesn't do the underlaps or the inverted role that Greg Taylor played, so he likes to go on the outside as well, you know, on the overlap. And he did put in a couple of great crosses, but you know that's going to take time for those two players to start making that connection, to start understanding what strengths they have. I think Tierney tried a couple of times, a couple of little clips over the top, when Maeda was come short and then spinning, didn't quite come off at times. Yeah, I think there's a bit of work to be done there, but that I mean,
so you think it's, can't it's just be done though?
Yeah, no, I think of course, good players.
Yeah, but I've seen people talk about that, you know, potential clash of styles, yeah, if you like, because as good as Tierney is, and he's excellent,
yeah,
at doing something different from what Greg Taylor used to do.
Yeah, it's more a traditional left back, if you want to call it that, in positionally wise. But Celtic, you know, we'll have to adapt him as well, a little bit as well, because Brendan Rodgers wants to play a certain way, and he can't have the whole team adjusting to Kieran Tierney. Kieran Tierney's going to have to adjust a little bit of his game. He's going to have to tweak it. And once he has more game time, once he gets up to speed, he's a fantastic footballer, you know, so I've got no doubt he will adapt to that. And obviously then that link-up play with him and Maeda, whether Maeda stays there or whether he eventually does become more of a traditional striker, I know he done it last year for a while, but I certainly think that will improve as the weeks go on, but it's very, very early for that partnership. Just
what do you think?
I think I'm not saying it's a problem, but with Maeda, I've always looked at him and I've always sort of thought that he's not, this is going to sound ridiculous, he was player of the year last year, scored all these goals, but technically great. In terms of being like an inside winger, a striker who would come deep and link the play and have a great first touch, great understanding of what's around him and stuff. So it is a little bit, it's different for him because David's right there to say that Greg Taylor and Kieran Tierney play differently. Greg Taylor likes to come in the pitch, which keeps guys made out wide. Now, he's just going to have to, he's going to have to get used to how Kieran Tierney operates. That's not to say that the whole team's got to be adjusted to accommodate Kieran Tierney. That's not the case. But for me, with Maeda, I don't think he's that kind of player that will be coming and dropping into pockets and taking it on half done and playing 1-2s and what have you. So it's different.
So is the solution then, David, that actually Celtic go and sign a winger and Daiza Maeda plays most of his football as a striker this season?
Yeah, well, Maeda himself is absolutely brilliant. Now, he got a bad tackle during the game, a lot of bad tackle, but seeing he's one of the goalkeeper later on, I think you're a scorer if he hadn't got that tackle. What do you think,
Bilal? No, I must admit, I think that the credit goes to the St Mirren boy, the substitute, I can't remember his name, but who had unbelievable acceleration to get back in the last minute. He was fresher, obviously, he came on as a sub, but his attitude is something that Stevie Robinson's instilled into his team, and he absolutely burst a gut to get back there. A lot of players would have given up the ghost when they seen Maeda in front of him. So, no, I don't think it's to do with the tackle, David, but it's like every other player, you know, some players absolutely are flying at the start of the season, some players take a little bit more time to get up to speed. Maeda might be one of those, but he was absolutely magnificent for Celtic last year, whether he played as a wide player, whether he played as a striker. Not only the goals and the assists he had, but his pressing was phenomenal, and he's a player to me, he's one of the first names on the team sheet for Celtic. So whoever plays, whether it's a left back or whether he plays in any kind of position, he can play in the right as well, remember. So wherever he plays, Celtic need him in the team. There are much better team with Maeda in the team, and if it's, whether it's Kieran Tierney or anybody else, they have to adjust a little bit so that Maeda can show his strengths.
Is there anything in that's maybe the easiest way for Celtic to sort those areas then, is that Maeda becomes a striker and then whoever the first choice, because if it was Jota as an example, he maybe does want to come in the pitch a bit more, so whoever, you know, whatever winger they sign, if they get one, maybe then links up with Kieran Tierney in a different way and Daiza Maeda plays through the middle.
For me personally, Maeda, he is a striker, plays up front for Japan for a reason. I really like him up front. For number one, the threatening behind, but also Jim hit the nail on the head there. He starts to press at Celtic when he plays up front. For me, he's a striker, I think, and even more so now when you talk about styles between Kieran Tierney and Greg Taylor. I think Jota would be absolutely perfect there with Kieran Tierney. So I think if they are going to sign a winger, it will be someone like that, probably a right-footed player who comes in the pitch and leaves the wide areas for Kieran Tierney.
Thank you very much to David, 0141 951 1025. Good time to call, and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy are about to tackle the full-time teaser. Now this, we need your help with every part of the show really, but in particular the whole point of the full-time teaser is we know how much you lot love your football trivia. So the challenge is for you to come up with a question, send it into the show, and then we try and catch the pundits out with your question in the last half hour of every night. So this is a good one. The Sensible Donkey has sent this one in. The address you need for that, by the way, if you think it's up your street, get your thinking cap on and send an email over to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name seven players this century who scored a competitive goal for Celtic at the age of 34 or older? Can you name seven players this century to score a competitive goal for Celtic aged 34 or older? Very tricky.
So,
Ian Wright? Yes. Oh, no. Oh, goodness. No. I thought he was on my list. Do you know what? Do you know what's done you there? This is cruel. This
1999.
December 99.
Yeah, there you go.
Was his goal, so not this century.
Robbie Keane.
You've been hard done by there. They've been hard done by. Who, sorry?
Robbie Keane.
No.
I've got one. I was watching Holmes Under the Hammer. Is he on it?
Dion Dublin.
Dion, yeah.
Yes, 36 years and 11 months when he scored against Kilmarnock in 06. You're hard done by that Ian Ray one.
Craig Bellamy?
Nope. Quite young when he came, youngish when he came up here.
When did Henrik leave?
Roy Keane didn't score, did he?
Yes, Roy scored Keane against Falkirk in 2006 and he was 34 and a half.
Right, okay.
People don't, you don't refer to half ages when you're an adult, do you?
No.
34 and a half, never heard of the likes. No, don't know why I said that. All right, we'll leave it there. I think that's a solid enough start. You could do better, but a solid enough start. Seven players this century to score a competitive goal for Celtic at the age of 34 or older. You've got Dion Dublin and Roy Keane, and we need five more. Let's go back to the phones though with Kenny and Thornleybank. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, hi.
How's it going?
Not bad. I would like to say, how does they not play in the League Cup sessions and give them four competitive games before they get into Europe? Because I think Hibs could have done with playing four competitive games before they'll tie, you know, to get them up to speed. And plus the fact of giving other clubs a revenue as well.
Oh, so you think the European entrants need to get into the League Cup group stage as well?
Aye, because I reckon they would. The thing is, they come up to speed and you get to know each other with a competitive game, other than these stupid friendlies that they play.
Heck of a schedule that though, Jim, wouldn't it be?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we go one way or the other. I mean, there's been a wee bit of debate because the league tried to say to some of the teams, do you want the weekend off before we play European ties? A lot of managers and clubs, fans have been screaming for that over the last 17 years. They try and make sure that you, if you've achieved European football this year, you actually get the benefit of not playing, so as it gives you more time to get your players in, get prepared, so as you're ready to go and you're not playing those games. As Kenny mentioned, if you'd have played Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and then you've got a European game, people would be saying, ah, oh, that's terrible, we've got our clubs in Europe and we're having to play this cup game. So I suppose it depends. When you have a poor result that Hibs had in the second leg, then people will look at that, you know. But it didn't seem to affect them too much in the first leg, you know. They played well in the first leg and actually played pretty well in the second leg.
A couple of
things
though on that. Though I wonder technically it could clash though, more importantly than anything, couldn't it? Because I know we're talking about our teams going in at these stages, but if you were in like one of the first European qualifying rounds, you would probably clash, wouldn't it? Because I think some of them are like early July.
Yeah, you probably could clash from a fixture list. There may be ways around about that, but I still think that if you've went and done well enough to finish in the top part of the league or won a trophy or whatever it happens to be, then you want that little bit extra breathing space, so therefore clubs don't come back pre-season to maybe a week later than the rest of the clubs to start their pre-season preparation. They're maybe away a little bit preparation, so they've got plenty of time. I know Kennedy's like the friendlies, but I think they're a bit different now because clubs do play in, you know, tournaments and various things like that now, that they try and get that tempo up to speed so that when they're ready to go and compete in Europe. So I don't think we've got any excuses. I think that It was a tough match for Hibs against Midtjylland. I think that was a tough draw they got. Dundee United beat a team from Luxembourg 1-0, 1-0, but they still get through, so ultimately it's just about getting to the next stage.
Because also, Kenny, Hibs, Dundee United, fine, but see if you're including Celtic and Rangers in this.
Yes, everybody,
one of them. A couple of things then. Commercially, Celtic and Rangers are never going to go for this, are they? I mean, like, Rangers is a bit of a different example this season. They had a disrupted pre-season, but Celtic away to the Como Cup or whatever, and you say, naturally, if it's fourth bank for you instead, no offence, Stirling's a lovely place. But you know what I mean? You'd have to maybe miss out your glamour friendlies to play in that. Then, again, I don't want to be disrespectful to our lower league clubs, but the League Cup already, I go to them every year because I love the summer. It's the only time I can always go to the games. It's already an ask for the League 2 and League 1 teams to play Motherwell or St Mirren, and they really just, you know, have to sit everyone behind the ball. Would Celtic or Rangers benefit from, like I say,
because they're seeded as well, so you're going to be playing teams from lower leagues. The fans really want to go, and much, I mean, I know Kenny's saying they've got up to speed, but if you're going and playing teams from Division 1, even the Championship to a certain extent, are you going to be, is that going to be better than playing a glamour friendly, for instance, you know, against Newcastle or something like that? So I'm not sure, Kenny, whether if it's any great benefit. I think some of the clubs, it might have, you know, a game, if you want to call it that, one game before it, a league campaign game or something, could you bring the league forward a week or so, perhaps, to get up to speed? But I still think we should be, I think it just depends on the luck of the draw, and I think, when you mentioned Hibs had a tough tie. There's no question. Midtjylland was a tough test for them.
What's spurred this on, Kenny? You're a Rangers fan, aren't you? Is it anything in particular about your own team that you think you wanted to see them have a different pre-season? Or?
Progress, still a work in progress. You know what I mean? They played well in Europe a week ago, and then came to Firth Park and threw the dummy at the pram, and then he got a reaction. But they're going to get a reaction in Europe anyway, so. Wait and see Saturday. See what
it's been
Saturday.
It felt different though. Look, Panathinaikos, if we're being honest, they were good results, but you couldn't say they were good performances. And that's not to be critical. It's early on. The squad didn't look the way Russell Martin wants it to. The away game was hot and all the rest of it. But I don't think you would put them down as good performances. But at least last night was. And I know Kenny and Yoker's on to say it's the worst team he's ever seen in Scotland. But, you know,
There's that old saying, isn't it? You can only beat what's in front of you. For me, watching the Panathinaikos games, I think Rangers probably got away with one, if we're honest. They gave up quite a few chances, especially in the first leg. Jack made a few good saves, but who cares? They got through. And then last night, as I said, I thought Rangers were brilliant last night. I did. The energy in the game. I actually enjoyed watching it, and I've got to admit, I haven't... I can't remember which caller it was, but he said it's the first time he's watched a full game in a long time. I'm probably the same. I must admit, I get a little bit bored at times when I was watching Rangers over the last couple of seasons, but I thoroughly enjoyed it last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look at the Panthers game. Yeah, it was, again, tough opponents. You know, it was all about trying to get through into the next stage, which Rangers managed to achieve. Whether it was a resilient defensive performance, I don't think at times, Gordon, we give enough credit for going away from home and defending properly. You know, we always seem to want to play this expansive football all the time. You can't do that. You're 2-0 up for the first leg. You go away. You make sure you're, you know, solid. Rangers got a draw, which was a good result, but you just make sure you do enough to win the tie. And I think that at times we don't pay enough attention to just being hard to beat away from home. And again, a similar performance away in the next game for Rangers will be enough to get them to play the Club Brugge or Salzburg.
Big calls from the manager last night, Kenny, leaving the captain out, leaving Raskin out. Were you on board with them?
Well, I'd like to see Tavernier, but we need a backup. We've got somebody. No.
Well, Max Aaron's obviously played, but we'll be interesting to see how those fullback positions do look come the end of the window. Surely, I mean, we keep hearing Yilmaz is close to an exit. I feel like you hear that most windows, but it really looks like it now. Russell Martin has publicly said he needs to kind of go and play elsewhere. He gave Jeff the nod last night. So what do you think that looks like come the end? Aaron's and Tavernier on the right, Jeff Day and another?
I would say another, yeah.
So left back could be one of the priorities.
I think so, yeah. They're probably fortunate that Max Aaron can cover both positions, but I would say realistically, managers for size of club that Rangers are, European football as well, they realistically want two players for every position.
Would he go with three for the two positions? No, he need a fourth.
Would you go for three people
for the two positions? You know, because Aaron's can play both sides.
Yeah, a lot of fullbacks can double up on either side. You know what I mean? It's not an uncommon thing. Hasn't been for a long time. You know, but it depends again the way he wants to play. I think he wants people naturally left footed on that side of the pitch because as I said, the balance of the team. So I would like to see Tavernier staying because I think he's been a terrific player for Rangers, but I'm just thinking for him himself, the reason I said shelf life earlier on, he might just think, listen, my time's running out, I've got maybe one good move in me, in which case this is the time to do it. He waits another year, will he have one more good move in him? I would doubt it, even though he's a fit player, even though players can play a lot longer now. I think the level of club interested in him would drop quite significantly if he stays another season.
Here's one I'm a bit surprised at, because we've done a fair sort of assessment of lots of the Rangers game last night, and I'm going to throw this one right for you, right up your street. A centre-back in your day, Scotland's Player of the Year, no doubt. What year was it again?
1985, 40 years ago, mate.
is it the happy birthday of it? Giga at the back for Rangers.
Done well, yeah, looked done well. I'd, good pace, good athleticism, you know, looks a good complement with John Souter. Passed the ball well. Yeah, he looked a bit accomplished player. But we keep saying it all the time against Motherwell. He didn't look quite as accomplished, you know what I mean? So they found gave the ball away a bit.
Even that, he wasn't one of the real culprits against Motherwell, was he?
I'm not saying he's a culprit, in terms of standing out, he didn't stand out in that game, either defensively or with the ball. He was okay, but last night he did very well. And again, some players like to play against teams from Europe because it's not quite as physical. They're not turning them all the time. They're not after them as much. So sometimes if you're a centre back, you can feel your way into the game. And he certainly done that last night. But yeah, with Rangers dominating the ball, he looked a very accomplished player. As I said, you can see the athleticism when the ball got turned over. He could recover it quickly. And he looks again a positive asset. But the test comes when he's going to be a bit more under pressure. Like all players, you know, it's particularly defenders. We're not getting carried away. We're referring back to last night's performance, Gordon, which was very good. It's moving forward. I mean, when they're up against tougher opposition.
Even the Motherwell game, though, I take Jim's point, Ross, but you could see the physical capabilities. Was it Stamatolopoulos who was through and he sort of came from behind him and last ditch, you know, the pace and stuff to get back? He feels like, over the piece, actually, the one that's kind of come in of the new signings and been like the kind of steadiest, because he's played, you know, Gassama's come off the bench. You're still waiting to see about Antman. It feels like Giga's just slotted in without much fanfare.
He has, yeah. Listen, he's got all the attributes, hasn't he? One thing that we haven't spoke about, I don't know if you've seen it last night in the second half, I think he gave the ball to Ahrens. And rather than Ahrens open up and go forward with it, he came back out, passed it to Giga. Giga gave it to Souter and he turned back round and he rollocked Ahrens. Now, I've always said I think it takes a certain character to go and play for Rangers, and I really liked that part of him last night. Yeah, because for a guy to come into a club this size, you would tend to find that a lot of players would come through the door and just try and get their feet under the table and settle before they start, you know.
Well, Rangers have had too many shrinking violets. Let's be honest with you, they've had too many people that haven't been, you know, as vocal or as, you know, verbally aggressive, you want to call it that, you know, and they've got to put demands on each other and accept it. So if you've got a young player that can do that, or a player that can come in and do that, and you can add two or three, you know, listen, you've got to have a whole team. It's no one's expecting a John Brown or Richard Goff, and we're not saying all that. That's a different era. But you need a few players who can actually demand on the pitch, not just demand from the touchline.
Just on the defensive topic, let's hear from John Souter, actually, speaking after last night.
Look, I love this place, I love this club, I love being here. I've not really heard much recently, so all I can do is train hard every day. Every day I step on the pitch, enjoy playing for Rangers because I know how special the club is to play for, so every time I step on the pitch, just give 100% and I'm sure the rest will take care of itself. Whatever happens, it'll happen. All I can say is every time I pull on that jersey, I'm honoured and that'll never change. So every time I step on that pitch, I'll give everything. So as I say, look, I love being here. So yeah, that's the main thing.
Bit an interesting one, because I thought Jack Butland would probably be captain if James Tavernier didn't play. It went to John Souter. Mm-hmm. I was talking about not heard much recently about the contractual situation.
Yeah, some managers don't like goalkeepers being, you know, I think they're too detached from the play. Other managers like it. We don't know if that's the case. He might just have thought he liked his attitude. He felt he's an international player, he's very experienced. You know, he's a strong character, all these type of things. So he might have just thought he's the right type of person to give the armband to. Some managers, we've heard that in the past, that don't put as much relevance on being captain as others. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, I don't know Russell Martin's view on that. He was a captain himself, I think, I'm sure. So I think he probably would have. So yeah, if you're John Souter, you're still honoured to get the armband, whether that's on a permanent basis or temporary, we'll see over the next few weeks.
I see, speaking about the Motherwell game at the weekend, need to give you a bit of credit. Let's remind ourselves of you Saturday night, Ross McCormack. Give us your prediction, please, Hugh.
Motherwell 0, Rangers 3.
Ha! Ross McCormack.
1-1.
Seriously? Because you listen, you're going to get battered all season for the things you get wrong. So it's only fair, it's only fair we give credit where it's due.
First and last.
Mystic McCormack, they're calling you. What about Mr. H. Keevans there? Honestly. Lich never learns.
He went in even further than that. I'm sure if he played it, he says Rangers have got a problem if it's not 3 or 4-0.
What did he get for Celtic, Hugh, as well? He must have gave that as another.
Who knows? Anyway, we'll get the rest of the answers to this teaser when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight. Let's see if we can work out the answers to this teaser. A quick reminder, if you can, the email address you need if you're interested in submitting a teaser for the guys to tackle is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name 7 players this century to score a competitive goal for Celtic at the age of 34 or older? Dion Dublin and Roy Keane is what you gave me earlier.
James Forrest.
Who gave you that?
The master himself, Hugh Keevans.
James Forrest was 33 when he scored against St Mirren. He's now 34 but hasn't scored since.
Well, there you are. Well, Hugh Keevans is absolutely hopeless.
He's been in touch with me as well wanting credit, because he did text me at full time on Saturday to congratulate you on the prediction that we just heard. So,
what about the guy who was phoning you there? What about his chum? Chris Sutton?
Nope.
No?
Callum McGregor?
Nope.
Scott Brown?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was 35 when he scored against Kilmarnock.
Scott Sinclair?
No.
Lubo Moravcic?
Yes, 36. Thanks, Claire. When he scored. Okay, so only three to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Right, it is obviously a lot of the talk tonight has been about Rangers. Last night, it's now over to the other teams. I mean, David Gray talking today about maybe it'd been a new experience going Serbia, Partizan Belgrade. Mm. That's like a proper European test, isn't it, in terms of everything that goes around it, the fixture?
Absolutely. You know, if you're playing over there and people have seen it, you know, I've seen lots of games in Belgrade, you know, all the flares, the atmosphere, you know, it's a real tough place to go. It's a challenge that you should relish. You want to play in these type of games. But earlier on, I think it was Kenny, was saying that maybe getting up to speed, but they had a positive result away to Dundee. Kieran Bowie scored 2 goals. They've certainly got firepower. They've seen Grant Hantley. They're a team with big aspirations now, similar to their city rivals, Hearts. It's going to be a huge challenge between those two this year in terms of expectations. I think from both sets of fans is going to be extremely high. But this is a test. I think this might just be you know, a game that just be just too much for Hibs. I would think so.
It's even said that, though. Is that because of, like we said, you know, atmosphere and where you're going and stuff? See, if you think about it, Hibs played really well against Mitchell and, you know, came close. There's a Partizan have dropped down as well. They get beat off. Was it Larnaca? You know, in the Larnaca of Cyprus, maybe on penalties in the previous round. Is that a level of opponent Hibs should fear?
No, do you know what? I say it all the time when Scottish clubs play against these sort of teams in Europe, that they should believe it. They should be able to go there and win. Hibs have got a lot of quality in that team, and they've shown it, especially first leg for me against Mitchelland. I thought they were brilliant. They were probably, half a yard away, Martin Boyle's offside goal from going 2-0 up. So I think they should be confident. They've shown that they can mix it with certainly the best in Scotland. So I don't see why they should be fearful.
I think you want to go there, Gordon, and just let me know, bring them back to you. You saw the crowd at Easter Road, 18,500. I mean, the atmosphere's electric. So they're playing with, you know, confidence. I have been now for months and months. You know, they're on the crest of a wave, really, you know, and other than that one disappointing, and it was a last minute wonder goal that knocked him out. So it just depends, has that knocked the stuff out a little bit? And as you said about Belgrade, are they a bit disappointed the fact that they get knocked out and then they're having to drop down into the conference? So, you know, you just don't know how their heads are, you know, and Hibs might be able to take advantage if there's any slight drop in standards from them.
Yeah, you mentioned early season form, Kieran Bowie. He warned we should be really keeping an eye on this season.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, again, we're speaking about young Rangers centre back, and he's saying about athleticism and, you know, size and physique, and Bowie's got that, isn't he, Ross? I mean, you'll know more about that than I would, but he certainly, I liked his goals against Indy, just in the sense of, you know, he was in the right areas, they didn't lash anything, you know, he had enough calmness just to, you know, pick his spot.
Yeah, it's always a sign of a good striker, that being, as you say, frozen, not frozen, but, you know, calm under pressure. I think he's got all the attributes, really like him, but I'm one of them, let's not get too carried away, let's just give him a bit of time. He's still got a lot of development to do, but for sure he's a very, very good player.
See, slightly different, because I've just, on one hand, said that, you know, we don't need to be frightened of every European opponent we come up against. We sometimes do that, and why can't Hibs? There's a real heavy challenge for Dundee United, isn't it? You know, because we're talking about the coefficient, it's really on the slide, and everyone's saying, I mean, look, these clubs just need to pull their weight, they just need to start winning games, which I get. Dundee United can play Rapid Vienna. Like, that should be a step too far, a massive step too far for Dundee United. So it isn't easy, you know. It's quite easy to broad brush it all and say these teams need to start picking up coefficient points, and yes, but see if the draw's not kind to you. No. This is, you know, we're talking about, you know, when Celtic, you hope they come up against weaker teams. These other teams in other countries, they're looking at Dundee United and Hibs and saying, you know,
I mean, they're not, you know, losing sleep or drawing a team from the Scottish Premier League in terms of the United. The United, obviously, we mentioned 2-1-0s against a team from Luxembourg doesn't overexcite you, but they got the job done. This is a different level now. We spoke earlier on about Rangers bringing in new players and, you know, try to gel a team. Jim Goodwin's, I think, has brought in 12 new signings, I think, something like that. And, you know, is there a bit of debate because he never had any Scottish players in his team the last European game? But regardless of that, his job is to get results and get the best players he can available to him, regardless of where they come from. But this is a real challenge for him, a real challenge of him as a manager in terms of his team and how he sets him out. But similar as we mentioned against Hibs, for Hibs, they've got to try and keep the game as tight as they possibly can to try and get it back to Tannadice, where if they can keep it within a goal, then they're going to have a really good crowd, really good atmosphere, and then they can throw the kitchen sink at it then.
You know what I mean, Ross? Like, we, from the outside, it's just very easy to sort of moan when the teams don't get to certain stages, and look, we have a fairly long list, unfortunately, of disappointments, but when you come up against an opponent like that, that's a huge ask for Dundee United.
That is a huge ask, yeah. But there's probably less expectation in Dundee United, so it's a free hit, but, you know, it's a chance for them to go up against a good team, see where they're at themselves, and cause an upset. They'll be quietly confident, I'm sure, that they can go and go about their business well, but whether that will be enough or not, I'm not so sure.
Because what did Vienna get to the quarterfinals, maybe, of the Conference League last season? I think it was round about then, so that shows you their comfort at this level of competition that Dundee United are trying to get into. And we also go back to that thing, Jim, that it is difficult, isn't it, for the teams that don't usually do it to go that Thursday, Sunday, just whatever you think. Yeah. It's just so many factors as to why it's tough.
But again, you know, you work so hard in the league campaign to get yourself into that European position that you've got to then relish the challenge. You know, there's no point. To be honest, if you're a player, and Ross will tell you that, see, if you're a player, you want a glamour tie, in essence. You don't, I mean, no disrespect to the Luxembourg tie, but it almost wouldn't feel like Europe. You know, you're playing a team from Luxembourg. You play Rapid Vienna or SK Rapid. You know, you're going to Vienna. You're playing a proper European team. It's the same as Partizan Belgrade. You're going and playing a proper European fixture. It feels as if that hard work you've put in is now justified by playing these type of teams. You want to put your wits against them. So, you know, no, I think that the United will, you know, really relish it, even though it is extremely tough. But I would much rather be playing that type of game in Europe, because you feel as if you're actually taking part in European competition.
Fair enough. Okay, let's try and finish the teaser off before we go. We've got 7 players this century to score a goal for Celtic at the age of 34 or older. You're doing quite well. You've got Dion Dublin, Lubo Moravcic, Scott Brown.
Is there a left field answer
here? Roy Keane. In what regard?
In terms of no, penalty shootouts don't count.
Nah.
Okay.
What about Mikael Lustig?
Nope.
No.
There's another. I'm going to say obvious. It can't be obvious, because otherwise you would have had them by now. But that sort of, if we've got Scott Brown,
Commons,
you've got Roy Keane. So we're thinking experienced campaigners, middle of the park. Is that something Celtic have done quite a lot over
Paul
the
Lambert.
Century? Yes. And the other one, then, if you're on that,
Neil Lennon.
Neil Lennon.
No, I'm miles off it tonight.
It won't surprise you to hear the one that you've got left is very difficult, I would say. Out of them all, this is the one you'll struggle with. So he's probably a kind of Gordon Strachan era.
And Stephen Presley?
Nope. No, but not a terrible shout, you know. Gordon Strachan era scored against Aberdeen 2005.
You mentioned one earlier on, Ross. Paul Telfer.
Yes.
Was it him?
It is. Did you ever write down?
You mentioned it.
I didn't believe myself. Up to the plate. Well done.
Well, it's not me, but Ross mentioned it, but I didn't think. I
Brilliant
thought myself did he score a goal.
Well,
so,
done.
Well done, Paul.
Brilliant. Thank you,
Paul.
Just call him Paul from now on. He's been called worse. Thank you to Ross McCormick and Jim Duffy, and thank you for listening, for calling, keeping us company, sending us your messages. Much appreciated as always. We are back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock, so make sure you join us, and in the meantime, just enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.